Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the podcast to be named later. I am Noah Hiles. He is
Alex Stumpf.
And Alex, I don't like to brag a lot. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a humble guy. Just kidding. I love to brag, especially when I get things right. And I had game one pegged pretty accurately, I must say.
Did you have the final score right? I know you had the Dodgers with eight.
Yeah, I said it was going to be 8-6. And all that was missing was that I said that they would have a ninth inning rally where they hit like a meaningless two-run homer, and that never came. Yeah. But I mean, it was pretty much exactly what we predicted. Kershaw, best postseason start, best World Series start he's had in his career. And it's honestly something where even if you're one of those Dodger haters, you hate them because they're the big market team, they're the juggernaut, whatever, you got to be glad to see Clayton Kershaw come in and absolutely dominate like he did in game one here after having a horrible game four outing in the NLCS, being really of no assistance to his team at all. Coming in here and getting them that first of four needed wins was really big on his end.
Yeah, and the six innings. I mean, we came into this saying how the Rays had the benefit in the bullpen of one extra day. And Kershaw, he pitched really damn well. I mean, this was regular season Clayton Kershaw right here, like a good regular season start from him. He probably could have gone the seventh inning. I don't blame Dave Roberts for going to the bullpen whenever he did. No, like, hey, big complaint with Clayton Kershaw is he starts games and, you know, just sticks around a little bit too long. You know, we're not even going to mess around with it. And you know what? They Dodgers didn't have to go to their A bullpen, unless you consider, you know, Baez and Joe Kelly, really, you know.
No.
No, they're not.
Joe Kelly's A content, not A bullpen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. But you know what? This is the win the Dodgers needed. They needed a way to, you know, considering how much they were taxed in that game seven, get a quick win, show that Cody Bellinger could, you know, still swing a bat and, you know, make catches in the outfield with one arm. Like a lot of good things happened for the Dodgers today.
Cody Bellinger is slowly becoming one of my favorite players in baseball. Just with A, how good he is, B, with his perpetual, always stoned face in the dugout where he's just looking into, you know, nowhere. Just think, I mean, the memes of him we've talked about earlier on the show and in past days. And then I love the foot tap celebration. I mean, that was classic.
So hilarious.
Yeah, after he dislocates his shoulder celebrating in game seven by doing that stupid arm lock jump. That I agree with John Smoltz. I don't see the need for that. So now they're just doing the foot taps, and everyone loved that. So that was good. But a big game from Bellinger, big game from that Dodgers lineup that we talked about, how it's hard to pitch to a lineup that 1 through 9. I mean, they mentioned it on the broadcast today. Kike Hernandez is like that 10th man, that guy who, you know, maybe doesn't start, maybe does. And he hit the game tying home run in game seven of the NLCS. And he had another big hit today. It's just like there is no break. Their backup catcher, Austin Barnes, when he's just playing, when Kershaw is playing, that's a guy that would probably start on 15 or more Major League Baseball teams. It is just There's no break. There's
I think no I break. Literally wrote last off season that the Pirates should look at Austin Barnes.
Yeah.
It's like a starting option.
Yeah. But to flip things over now about the Tampa Bay Rays, I think we had them pegged right as well. We both said Glasnow was going to have trouble with this lineup, especially mm-hmm. the second time through with just the left-handed bats that it has and everything. Looked really good through four innings. Aside from the two-run bomb he allowed, I think, in the third. Yeah, pretty solid. I think he had seven strikeouts through four. They kept him in too long. I think that that's a fair judgment to make. Other guys like Kershaw, where you can make that debate where, oh, they pulled him too early or whatever, because they have established the ability to go late into games. This is a guy, he doesn't pitch long. Glasnow, if you look at his starts, even when he's doing well, this is a guy who he throws 100 pitches in five innings, and he racks up 12 strikeouts, and that's what you get when you have a great bullpen. I don't know why you brought him out there for the fifth inning. I think he was at like 85 pitches, I want to say, going into that fifth inning. I think four solid innings from your starter there with the best bullpen in baseball and only down 2-0 against that Dodgers team. I think and Cash doesn't make many bad choices. He's a very good manager, but I disagreed with that decision.
That was a game one decision. That was a game one. Yeah. You got a whole series. You know, if you get a chance to milk one more inning out of your starter, that could make, you know, an impact later in the series. Like, if this was game five, Tyler Glasnow 100% does not pitch that fifth inning.
Yeah.
They take the four innings, two-run ball, and they're like, all right, we're going to give it over to the rest of the guys. That's probably what it's going to be for a lot of basically everyone, you know, in the second half of this series, if yeah. there is a second half.
But I was going to say, aside from Snell, Snell's like that guy where they just kind of let go.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. But we kind of saw Snell with a quick hook,
yeah. you
know, in the LCS also. So, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't the changeup that got him messed up. So I was wrong in my analysis there. But
yeah,
we both were on the same wavelength. Like, you know, this is – there's so many left-handers in this lineup. There's going to be something – and, you know, the one home run was a mistake pitch in what was it, the third inning, I want to say, the two-run bomb. But besides that, you know, he got through that lineup well, you know, one and a half times, and then not after that.
All right, and the final aspect of the game slash player I want to highlight is the people's champion. The people's champion must be everything the people can't be. And there's not many people that can be Mookie Betts. My God, is this guy just incredible. And the graphic that Fox put on after his home run was literally, they just said, we're trying to go viral right now. It was one MVP, one World Series title, two-time tacos for everyone, stolen base. And holy cow. I mean, that's just like, A, it's like the craziest promotion. Like Taco Bell's just signing up saying, hey, we're going to give everyone a free taco because there's going to be a stolen base in the World Series. Could you imagine if there wasn't? I mean, that would be the Oakland A's, honestly. If the yeah. A's won the World Series and swept, like they would, that would be like we'd all be paying for tacos on October 28th. But that's not the case. Free plug for Taco Bell. They need that advertising. But anyway, Mookie Betts, he gets the stolen base. He steals third as well. He has the awesome slide home on that throw, but which was a great play by Yandy. That was like an awesome overall baseball play where he fielded that yeah. with the backhand, threw it home. Zunino made a great effort to make that tag. Mookie with the awesome slide. I literally screamed when that happened. I'm like, I freaking just love this sport. Like, that's like just an all-around great baseball play. But Mookie just had a great game. I mean, he does it in the field. This is the guy. I if I could make a substitution or a change to our predictions, I would like to change my pick to Mookie Betts being the World Series MVP because he's playing the best baseball out of anybody still playing baseball right now.
My game one MVP was the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
For trading Mookie Betts so we could hear about two dumbass franchise trades instead of just the Pirates and the Glasnow Austin Meadows stuff. It's like, okay, at least the Pirates traded prospects. The Red Sox traded away an MVP.
You got to feel for a small market like Boston who, you know,
they need that financial flexibility.
They need that, yeah. They can't afford to sign big players like those Boston Red Sox. You know, everyone talks about the attendance problems at Fenway Park, how the Red Sox, no one watches their games. I mean, how dumb are they? I mean, that, like, I get that Pirates fans have a lot of reasons to be upset about talent leaving, but Mookie Betts not being a Boston Red Sox for his entire career is not only a crime against baseball, it's a crime against humanity. They should be thrown in jail. I don't condone the lock them up chant a lot, but like opening day when the Henry family's on the field, you gotta do some time. That is unacceptable to be watching Mookie Betts making these plays in the postseason wearing blue and gray instead of red and navy and white.
You know, just for the financial flexibility part, they're like, oh, well, we had to get rid of David Price's contract. It's a lot of stuff. It's like, this is what you signed up for whenever you get Dave Dombrowski. I'm sorry. Everything Red Sox is going to come back to Dave Dombrowski. It's like you had a perfectly good general manager in Ben Cherington. He built this incredible farm system that is going to lead you to a World Series in a couple years. And now you traded away all that for one World Series, for one unbelievable weekend in Vegas, and now you're looking at the bill.
Yeah, and it's
that's it. Mookie Betts was part of the bill.
Yeah, and that it's not like they haven't paid stars before. Like, that's the thing where it's like they locked Manny up for a long time. Manny left because
How much is Mookie making compared to Manny Ramirez? Not even like taking inflation into account, just like raw dollars.
Yeah. And that's like they paid Manny left because he was just quite literally insane. Like he was pushing old people down the stairs and high fiving fans in the middle of the game. Like, you can't be doing that. And then they paid Poppy, and you know, I mean, Poppy was a productive player, but they paid a DH money to keep him around. This is the probably second best five tool guy in all of baseball.
Best five tool guy.
You think he's more complete of a player than Trout?
Yes. Trout can't field the same way Mookie Betts does.
Fair. Fair. Mm. Does Trout
I still say Trout is the better overall player by a hair. But if we're talking about someone who could actually do all five tools, no one comes close to Mookie Betts.
All right. I mean, I don't have that much of an argument. I would say the biggest difference between the two is their arm. Mookie has a freaking cannon, and Trout's arm is probably the worst part of his game. Trout still does make those like crazy catches every now and then at the wall, but Mookie does. I mean, his like fly ball radius is like the outfield, essentially, and part of the infield as well, and you know, maybe some of the seats, like the 100 sections. He just covers everything. I love watching the guy play. I love baseball. Hopefully this goes to seven. Does my final question for you on the World Series, Alex, did anything you saw in game one change your outlook on the series? Do you still think Rays in seven?
I still think Rays in seven. Like I said, I thought this was going to be the game they lose. I'm probably not going to change it until they lose game three. If whenever they lose a Charlie Morton start is whatever. It's like, okay, we got a problem.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm the same way. I mean, I said the Dodgers win these first two games and the Rays win the next two. So, and this went pretty much exactly how we expected, which is incredibly rare. I mean, especially for you. You're a guy who said the Pirates would be a fringe playoff team this year. We're going to take a quick break. Speaking of the Pirates, when we return, Alex wrote something up about the Pirates and how it kind of pertains to what we're seeing pitching-wise in the postseason from one of the two teams that's still playing. We're going to talk about that and more when we return.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Second segment of the show, and Alex, as always, the second segment of this show is brought to you by our good friends at Mike's Beer Bar. Not an accurate number, but they have approximately about a billion beers on tap there. Most of them are local. All of them taste delicious. You and I go down there regularly, pay a visit, get some. Is it growler or crowler?
Crowler. It's crowler because it's in a can. It's a growler if it's in glass.
Oh. Look at that. Look at that. Carter is developing me into a beer snob on our Friday shows on Facebook because I still have the palate of a frat boy where it's just like I just need to drink this as fast as possible and not really enjoy the taste. We're working on changing that. Now you're increasing my beer vernacular as far as consumption methods, I guess you could say. So that's good too. Alex, Mike's Beer Bar, shout out to them. Also, shout out to your article that you wrote, Pirate Story, kind of tying in, you know, the cliche is you watch Morton, you watch Glass now, and you're saying, why can't this be the Pirates guys when they're in Pittsburgh? And you basically wrote something saying, this could be the case here soon. Explain a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a change in how the Major League pitching went this last year. There was no talk of outs on three pitches or less. It was about, you know, maximizing strengths. It was about, you know, using new data, making sure pitchers understand this data. Oscar Marine and Justin Message really changed a lot in the approach, and it looks like we're going to see that happen in the farm system as well. Pirates are moving on from their two pitching coordinators that they had for the past couple years. Scott Mitchell, Tom Filer, two guys who were within the system, you know, in a multitude of different roles for most of Neil Huntington's tenure with the organization. And, you know, it's the front office player development restructuring that we're seeing. I mean, it's just a constant little drip of, hey, this guy's not going to be here anymore. This guy's not going to be here anymore. And this is low-key, I feel like, kind of really impactful. Like, it's going to be a completely new approach to pitching. And the Pirates need that. Like, we saw it in the major leagues, but it has to happen in player development too. Like, we joke about, you know, the outs on three pitches or less. Like I put in the lead of my story, that was throughout the system. That was something that every manager had to keep track of. Don't worry about that. Let's go to each pitcher's strength. How do we make this pitcher do their best work with the Pirates rather than going to Tampa Bay and getting shown in game one of the World Series? No, be on that platform instead.
Hitting on that three pitches or less. No, Alex, I remember 2018 when we were just becoming buddies. And we were sitting by each other in a press box, and I was watching you keep score because I noticed there were like different notes you were making on your scorecard. And I was like, what is he keeping track of here? And you had like a different color pen or something, or you had a different marking on certain outs. And I finally asked you, I was like, what are you doing here? And you're like, and I forget who was on the mound. I think it might have been Chad Kuhl. You said, I'm keeping track of every at bat where he makes an out three pitches or less and something. And you were, you know, you were kind of monitoring that well. I think you were doing it for a story that countered that approach, because I mean, you were never for that. But yeah, it is interesting to see. It's not just interesting, it's delightful to see them like moving away from this as they did at the major league level, like you said. But yeah, developing these guys, where it's just, it's like teaching, you know, when you have a thoroughbred, you let it run, man, you know. And like, that's the thing, where letting guys just be the pitchers that they are is so important. And especially when you're drafting with these high picks, taking guys in the first round and just saying, you know, they have all this raw talent, and not trying to fit them. It's you're getting five-star recruits and forcing them to learn the Veer option, and like they're playing for Army and Navy, and that's dumb. Let these guys, I'm a peacock on this. You got to let me fly on this one, to quote Mark Wahlberg in one of the best peacocks comedies of all
time.
If they get a running start, they can do it. Don't go chasing waterfalls. But in all seriousness, I think that before I get too excited about this, obviously, and whoever they hire, I'm not going to pretend like I know a ton about. I mean, and we'll research or whatever, but whoever they put in these places, I do trust Ben Cherington's ability to make the right hires. I think that he understands putting that system into place. I liked how the Red Sox kind of developed hitters more than their pitchers when he was there. But nonetheless, I'm when it comes to development, I'm a Ben Cherington believer. And I think that he's able to recognize people who can put a system in place that will succeed. So this is definitely a big step in the right direction.
Yeah. And I mean, this is almost, it almost has to be like an in Ben we trust situation if you're a Pirates fan.
Yeah.
Because the player development, that's the key here. That's, I know that's only one of the four pillars he talks about. You know, you also have to identify talent. You have to find ways to bring them into the organization. But like, actually developing is going to be the most important thing. Like,
the Pirates know how to identify talent. That's never been an issue.
Yeah. We wouldn't be talking about Morton. We wouldn't be talking about Glasnow Cole if they couldn't.
Yeah, or Meadows or Jose Bautista or whoever. And it's, yeah, they've always had talent. And it's been, even guys like, I always bring this guy up. Nick Kingham is someone that like is a tragedy, that like how his career went out. And I know that was more injuries than anything else.
A big part of Nick Kingham was he lost so much fastball velocity after the Tommy John.
Yes, and that sucks. But I mean, I still think Tommy John might have even played a part in development. You know, who's to say it didn't?
Yeah.
They've always had the ability to find guys, find young studs in trades. I mean, they found O'Neill Cruz trading away a left-handed reliever. You know, they've always been able to scout out guys, draft well. It's just making the most of them, developing them is a freaking struggle, and sustaining it as well. When guys get up there, they have a good year. They can't have another good year after that first good year. Like, look at Josh Bell. It's a freaking roller coaster. Getting the most out of it. That's the main thing here.
And from the pitching standpoint, this is going to be a whole different...
Oh, yeah.
Like, college pitching is very different to develop than high school pitching. The Pirates liked high school pitching because they were young. They were impressionable. They had complete control on how they were going to learn. Whereas if you get a guy from college, he's worked with a college pitching coach for 3 or 4 years. You know, that type of deal. This past draft, Wijnski, Garcia, Hartman, Hoffman, 4 college arms in this draft. Like, that's going to be different than what they've done in the past. If you go to Carmen Wijnski and say, like, hey, we're going to make you start throwing, you know, he already throws a sinker, but for the sake of the metaphor, let's say he doesn't. Like, you're going to throw a completely different type of fastball, and we're going to want you to make sure you get outs on 3 pitches or less. We're not going to keep track of the batting average, which many moons ago in Pirates Guide 2019, which was spearheaded by our friend Jason Rolson, those collection of essays, I wrote one where I did the dive and found, like, Pirates pitchers had like a 100-point batting average increase on the at-bats that are 3 pitches or less compared to ones that go longer than 3. So it's like, okay, this ideology is actually quite literally not working. It's 100 points higher. Better to go from Mendoza line to batting title, you know, contenders, you know, whenever they get these short at-bats. A lot's going to change. We're gonna see some changes in the front office. We're going to see some new hires going around there. I don't want to, like, jump the gun with a lot of this stuff until we see which people they do bring in. But like I said, Ben Cherington's done it once before. He's going to have to do it again. The restructuring moves that we have seen, I think, have been a step in the right direction. At least the cutting. That's only half the job. You also have to hire.
Yeah. Well, we're on the same page there. Alex, another great show, according to my standards anyway. Any final thoughts?
No scrubs. Don't want no scrubs.
Got a creep. Got a creep. If you haven't seen the other guys, any... If you haven't seen the other guys, please check that out. That's not my final thought. My final thought is October 28th. Don't forget, Mookie Betts is putting food on your table. Mark it on your calendars. We'll probably have a show then. We'll have a show for you tomorrow. Be sure to tune in to, or be sure to hit that subscribe all button. Follow us on social media. Leave a comment. You guys know the drill. We'll talk to you tomorrow.